Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty for a visual artist, balloon sculptor, the one and only Mr. Balloonski. Balloonski, welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Oh, man, we're grateful to have you here. We've been trying to get this one in works for a couple of months, and stars aligned, and now you're here. So we're very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's really nice to be thought of in this way and to wait and then give me an opportunity to flap my jaws, you know what I mean? But let me start off. I brought a couple things for you. I don't know how you usually do this.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have the hat. You don't want this, dude. It's fucking, it's sweat stained.
That's marinated?
It's fucked up. So I got a little, I don't know if you drink the Celsies.
Yeah, sure.
You drink the Celsies?
Yeah.
It's something for you. I keep the bag on because they don't pay, you know what I'm saying? And I also brought, I brought some monsters of my own. I don't know if you're interested.
Hell yeah.
It's which one you want. I don't know. You can have both of them, but see you brought monsters well, because I told you on my quote unquote rider I wanted monsters and the, what else was it?
A hairless cat and a jet ski.
Yeah, and this is honestly all I could really. That's all I wanted. So
well, good.
I appreciate you even brought it. I forgot about that, and then you came.
We made good at least 33 1/3%.
Dude, it worked out great. Cheers.
Hell yeah. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it. Mm. So, balloon sculpting is a something that...
I got some more stuff for you, too. Sorry.
Oh, we'll keep working on it.
Yeah. We'll get there.
I know that balloon sculpting is something that, you know, people probably got the thing in their head. They picture the guy at the restaurant that ties up a little dog, and you get a dollar, and there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know your journey in creativity started way before that and kind of made its way into that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, what we'd like to do is press rewind. If you could press rewind for me a little bit where creativity comes into your life and you start finding that this is something that you can make the ideas in your head become a real thing.
I think it started with skateboarding. And really the idea of not giving up.
Mm.
And, you know, around the same time, I was a young teen at that time, but I started like writing raps with my friends. We'd just be like, you know, smoking shitty weed blunts and freestyling over, you know, the Dead President's beat
yes.
1,000 times over and over again and any other instrumental we can get our hands on.
Nice.
So I guess that's where it kind of started in creating. And then a few years later, I started a band with some homies. Well, we started a band called The In Crowd. It's like a Florida punk rock. I call it flunk rock.
Nice.
And it just really was a way to get it out. It happened, like, we started it like right after 9/11, actually. And I think it was just a fucking fuck this kind of, you know, let's just, this, everything's weird, let's just go for it. And
right.
It's just some, like, you know, Minor Threat, Ramones inspired, you know, all the cool SoCal punk rock, you know, from NoFX to, I guess that was kind of San Francisco too, but NoFX to Bad Religion and Pennywise, yeah, exactly. Good Riddance and Propagandi. I mean, they're Canadian, but this just that heart, that feeling. So, really, it started with music and writing music.
Were you doing any type of visual art then, or was just the first creative outlet was just solely music?
I mean, I was like, I was tagging stuff with, you know, I was like marker tagging stuff, but that was, again, part of the skate thing. You just kind of, I didn't even think about it at the time, honestly. But visual art personally didn't come until, well, I mean, we made some like album covers. I did, you know, I did some like digital stuff and I always played with Photoshop and I always like taught myself, you know, if you remember Flash from back in the day, I taught
Absolutely.
Myself how to do that, you know, and those kinds of things. I always kind of like had a knack to figure that out.
Where do you think that comes really, from?
You know, I don't know. Maybe, like, you know, we grew up digital, a bit, or at the beginning of the digital thing, right?
Right.
So, like, we're not, like, iPad kids, right? But we definitely taught our parents how to use computers.
Right.
So I felt like, I guess I feel like that was kind of something that I leaned into or that I embraced a bit, that I was able to, like, kind of teach myself some of these things. I had the passion or the desire to, like, make some stuff, and I figured out how to make them. You know?
Yes.
You know how that goes. It's yes. Like, you just teach yourself how. It's like YouTube University takes. If there was no YouTube University, it was like books and shit back then.
You're right.
Flash for Dummies or like Photoshop for Dummies. You learn a little bit and then you just go off because you touch every button and you're like, oh, this does this. And it was kind of like so basic back then compared to what it is now.
Right.
You could kind of work your way around it.
Yeah, so. What I was just going to say. Like, I feel like that way too. Like, back in the day, you used to be able to fumble around in the dark with a little bit more fun and outcome.
Yeah, it was a little more forgiving.
Yeah.
But now it's like very like, what would be the word? I don't want to say tedious, but you can get so detailed on anything you want and layers of stuff when before it was just way more basic. But I kind of, I guess that would be one of my first visuals is working with Photoshop. Actually, I worked as a computer programmer for a little bit, and we all realized that I wasn't really a computer programmer. They put me in like the visual, like ad space, I guess.
Yeah.
And I started using my Flash, my like minor Flash knowledge to create banners and make little, you know, commercial Flash pieces for like edges of websites and that kind of shit. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Dude. Yeah. That's like,
crazy. I guess that's where my visual shit might have came to fruition at the start, but it's not, I mean, it's not that now. Although I still do fuck with Photoshop a lot, and now I'm into like the 3D rendering and trying to make that shit, and fuck, it's gotten so much harder, dude.
I was gonna say that's where you get to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the beginning, you're just plunking around, being able to do some Flash and some, you know, meeting the needs of what was needed at the time, you know, like you said, ads on the side of websites, shit like that.
Yeah, people found me a space in their company, and I was like, I could do that, I guess. And like, then I got fired for being late fucking 5 minutes every single day. So you know how that shit goes.
Yeah, well, that's the dichotomy between being actually creative and, you know, trying to harness that into some sort of box.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but I'm thankful for it. Every time I got fired, I'm thankful for it. Created this dumbass I am today, I guess. I don't know. But.
So when you start cutting your teeth a little bit and making some visual art, and you get the blessing of being fired from this gig, where does it take you from there? Where do you start to go from there? Are you still making music at that point?
Well, yeah, I was making music all through that, but once I got fired from that job, I think I was just hustling. I think I was just hustling, dude. For a while, I went through some personal stuff, some physical personal stuff that really took me out for a while.
I know that life.
I got kind of caught up in thinking about my own mortality for a long time and really had a hard time coming out of that hole for a while.
Yeah.
So I just had to do what I had to do to survive for a bit. And had the band throughout that, and, you know, kind of found my way through the dark for a number of years. And then I'm playing music all through this, but it kind of took a back seat because I was in a bad place for a while. And then,
and it's hard to spread yourself into something creative when you got to worry about.
Oh, dude. I mean, that was the craziest time of my life from the people around me, you know, I was with a girl that was wild and that kept it all just balling into this huge snowball effect of fucking shit.
Right.
That, you know, when I look back, I'm like, God, what a fucking idiot, man.
Right?
Like, why did I do that? I'm not that person, you know, I'm not.
No,
I mean, I am. I'm grateful, again, grateful to go through these things, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that well, that's a hella relatable thing. You know, we all do shit sometimes for way longer than we're supposed to. Look back, like, what was I doing?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I got lucky after that. Like, I found balloons, kind of stumbled into balloons when I was about 28. And you know, man, it took, and I never looked back. It's really like, it started off as like a supplemental thing, or I was looking to fill a void in my pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I've quickly realized that like it spoke to me in a way, or I just it fit this piece, this puzzle piece or something. And I just took off with it, man, and super grateful for, you know, the time prior where I was able to kind of get out all the shit I needed to get out. And then I had the time and the energy and the space to fall into this new thing that I never would have thought would have been a thing. I mean, even when I say it now, I'm a balloon artist, a traveling professional balloon artist.
It seems like you made that up.
Dude, it's like a weird fever dream that I don't know if it's real or not. And like, it's, you know, I did kind of make it. I mean, I didn't, you know, there's been people that have been making balloons for years. But in my life, I never touched really a balloon like that beforehand. So it just kind of organically happened, man.
So what was the impetus of this? Did you see like a big balloon sculpture? How does one, it's unexpected even amongst unexpected things. How does one stumble onto that?
Craigslist.
Yeah?
I was looking at the very, very start of it before I knew anything. I was looking for a gig like it was before Uber. And I was like, I could drive people to the airport, you know, in those like vans. Remember it was like 60 bucks a person to get there and back? I was like, I could do that. If put enough money together, we get a van or whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And I was looking on Craigslist for that kind of stuff, and somebody said they had an entertainment position available, and it wouldn't say what it was. Right. So yeah. I met this guy at an Applebee's, and it turned out to be balloons, and he was like, I made a bunch of money. I bought this crazy car off of balloons, which turns out, like, I don't believe it. To this day, I think he was just bullshitting me.
Hell of a sales pitch.
Because he was working with this company around South Florida that basically hires people to go into restaurants and twist for balloons.
Right.
But you twist for tips. You don't get paid the restaurant. There's a restaurant share. But he makes some of the restaurant share, and the business makes the restaurant share, but you twist for tips.
Right.
And the incentive was to get more people under you, because every person you get under you and every gig they do, you make a percentage of their restaurant.
Oh, my God, a balloon pyramid?
It was a fucking pyramid scheme, dude. But by the time I realized it quick enough, but I worked in a lot of these, like, restaurants that you would know all the names.
Right.
Just twisting for tips. The first year when I was just soaking up as many of those gigs as I could to kind of cut my teeth. And then I moved down to Miami and got my own restaurant that I worked with for like 5 years the whole time I was living there.
Dang.
And pulling out, you know, enough money to definitely survive and keep everything moving and kind of grow and, but yeah, once I realized fully, like, oh, there's a crazy business here, and these guys are jackasses. Like, I don't fucking need this shit. Like, right? I don't gotta answer to anybody. I can just, and really at that point too, I was twisting on the street, doing like street performance, and that really opened my eyes because I started putting stuff on the street, and that kind of organically grew into what's happening now. You know, so it was all from Craigslist, dude. It's crazy.
It's amazing how many stories can start that way. Mm-hmm. Do you remember day one in the restaurant? Do you remember the first thing you twisted for tips?
Yeah, should I say the name of the restaurant?
It's totally up to you.
Thank you for sticking with us. We hope you're enjoying the episode. We'd like to take this time to talk to our sponsor for this week, Tony Barrett from Barrett Realty.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you having us on the show. Barrett Realty has been in business for 20 years, and we are a boutique real estate company. And I look forward to servicing our community with people that want to buy and sell property. I think it's very important that we're out there advocating for personal property rights. And we want to be the people that you select when it comes to buying and selling homes. So please, if you're interested in buying or selling homes in Manatee, Sarasota, or surrounding counties, reach out to us at Barrett Realty at 941-745-9999 or brmovesyou.com.
Again, we'd like to send a big thanks out to Tony Barrett, Barrett Realty, for sponsoring this episode and being an awesome part of this community. Please enjoy the rest.
I mean, like, I don't know if they're paying enough to, you know, we should both make some money off of this one, but
yeah.
Our first restaurant was Buffalo Wild Wings. And the first thing I remember making for that was a Ninja Turtle balloon. And, you know, multiple colors. Like, it wasn't like, I never started it like just a balloon dog.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
You know,
this.
Like I kind of at that point I was in it, and I just was like, I'm trying to build cool shit. You know, from the very start, I was like, there's cool stuff that you can build here. I want to do, I want to do that kind of shit, like not just a flower and a dog,
right?
And so the first gig I had was there, and I made that was the first thing I made or remember making. But in general, the first thing I ever made was, I believe it was a penguin for my girlfriend at the time.
Nice.
And I think it was like a flamingo, all, a bunch of stuff to like give to her. And all my friends were like, what the hell is he doing? Like, what's going on here? Like, all my friends are like punk rockers that like, you know, yeah. Just...
Dude, snapping his time balloons over there, man.
Yeah, and we're like at the bar, and I'm like twisting balloons for people, and they're buying me drinks, and it's like, oh, is this like some like weird party trick or something? And all the time in my head, I'm like thinking bigger. I mean, I felt there was something there, but I didn't. I don't know. I've been going with the flow the whole time. I still am like, I have plans, but. Who knows where you end up, right?
Yeah. So, I've got concepts of a plan.
Yeah. And you know, it hit me so hard at the beginning that I was like, all right, there's a thing here. I'm just going to go for it. And, you know, here we are.
So what, I mean, when you're sitting at square one, no balloons, what do you think to yourself? Oh, man, I got to find a case of balloons. Oh, I got to find balloon tying for dummies. Like, how do you even get this off the ground?
So it's a lot like the Photoshop stuff. Where, like, at the beginning, so even then there was, like, YouTube University.
Okay. Right?
So there was, like, very simple videos for that kind of stuff. Same thing with anything. I mean, they started that kind of stuff real quick. Mm-hmm. So I went online, and you could do it today in a much bigger way.
Right.
How to build a balloon penguin, how to build a balloon flamingo, you know? So I just dove in, and I... devoured everything that I could about balloon art.
So that's just part of your personality, yeah?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah. Oh, but okay, so here's what really, like, here's the funny part of it. After I left, or as I was at the Applebee's, that this man took me on a date to Applebee's, telling me, come on, baby, you're gonna work for me.
The balloon fantasy.
Yo, yeah. For real, like, yeah. Like making this whole thing stick just so he can get his $25 from me each gig. Crazy. I'm thinking in my head, oh, it's wild because I just saw a bag of those balloons at Walgreens for like a dollar. So on the way home, I bought a bag of those balloons and it had a pump. And I went, he said, just go on YouTube and learn how to make a, you know, these 10 designs. And I went back and learned how to make those 10. And those balloons were so terrible, they kept popping every 5 seconds. And it was just so fucking frustrating, bro. So I had to figure out how to get the better balloons. So I got some of the better balloons and it started going way better. And I just, it fit this thing. Like I said, it kind of fit this puzzle piece, or it like hit my, I don't know, like my ADHD right, where it was like, just, I tried to devour everything I could, every design I could. And, you know, a month into it or a month and a half into it, I thought one day about my name, which really came from like hip hop. Used to say like yo ski.
Right.
And what up ski.
Broski.
Broski. And I said balloon ski. I was like, what? I looked online and it was in anywhere. Nobody had it. And I bought that shit instantly. I bought the website.
Yeah.
I made a Facebook. I made an Instagram. I made any kind of social that I could. And I just, that was my name from then on. And then a couple months later, I come out of the balloon hole, I call it. Because I just, like I said, I devoured every video I could. Like every
the kid
day.
That shuts himself in the room to play guitar.
100%, dude. And you just go. And like a few months later, you're like making your own songs.
Right.
Or, you know, and I'm like making my own designs, like big ass. First thing I made that was my own was a big, I wanted to make a praying mantis. So I made that shit. And I was like, I want to make an ostrich. So I made a big ass ostrich. And like, I'm thinking like, okay, there's like, you can make anything. Like, there's no walls here at all, which is weird because there's walls with everything, and it's so niche that, like, nobody's doing it. Nobody's trying to do it. No one, you know, there's, like, you could find people on YouTube and that, right? But right. No one around me is fucking doing that shit. And the one guy that is a jackass. Like, is somebody that I don't really want to fucking hang out with. I'll just ask him for little bits along the way just to help me
right
grow this business. Or you know, he didn't even realize. He just thought I was going to be in fodder for their balloon pyramid
right
scheme, you know? So, yeah, I guess started on YouTube University. That was the question? Shit, I totally forgot where I'm at. Well, dude, I've spin in circles sometimes.
Well, part of it was what I was really driving at was how what the kind of gap is, or what the learning curve or whatever it is between where you're learning these first 10 designs and where you start to take some of these ideas that you have for these bigger pieces and start bringing them to life.
It happened quick. Like I said, like, I want to make this. I want to make that. And I did. And then soon after that, I moved to Miami, and that's really a big reason why I had to kind of like supplement, because I couldn't really hustle there, and because I don't have the group that I have here, I don't know anybody there. Like, I got to figure out some shit.
Right.
So when I went out there and I started doing street performance, that's really when it started to click more. I'm like, okay, this is art. And this is something that could literally change someone's perspective, mood, and visual in an instant by just turning the corner and seeing a guy in a fucking Gatorhead balloon making a balloon dog. Or like, you know, one of the first things that I, like, street art things I did was like make a TV head and I put it on a parking meter. And that to me was like profound. I was like, this is super cool, dude. You know,
this
like,
is Statement City right here, bro.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
And I put like all the Obey shit on, or not Obey, but all the They Live, you know, consume, yeah, fucking Obey, like,
yeah,
procreate, like all that shit on the screen, kind of. So there was like, I was like, damn, there's like cool shit. And then I even got into, like, you know, I make these heads or whatever, and I would just take the gator head and I'd put it on something else, or like another parking meter, or like some sort of sign, or like on a thing, on a fire hydrant or something, or they're like, what the hell is it? It's like, what the hell is that, you know? Actually, rewind just an extra second. But the first time that I went out and to do street performance, I didn't have any permit, because a lot of them now, you have to have some sort of permit just so they know you're like not a crazy homeless person.
You're right. Busking for smack or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, and it was in Miami Beach on Lincoln Road, so you kind of like have your shit together a little bit, right?
I was going to say, you're on the border.
Totally. You got to like figure out, they don't want you, just nobody to be there.
Right.
Or just random people. So I remember making this giant elephant head. It was so big, bro. Big. And the trunk went all the way down to my knees. Pause. And the ears were like way out here. And it was just this huge, like life size. I mean, I guess if it was life size, it would be like a baby elephant head, right? But it was fucking gigantic. I remember wearing that shit down Lincoln Road, and I got so many mixed reactions that it made me want to do it more. I mean, I remember one guy was like, "You fucking freak," like talking shit. And yeah. I was like, it made me smile so big. Like there were people be like, can I take a picture? You had all these like positive reactions. And then one guy like couldn't handle it. I was like freaking him out. Which totally like brought me back to like the punk rock shit.
Yes. Where,
you know, and I'm like, oh, this is rad. So then I got the permit. I went out there. I started making these crazy heads and twisting for tips out there. And it became so much more through being able to like kind of express myself through balloons, leaving them out on the street, you know, using my social media to kind of lead people there and show them there's other stuff. Yeah.
So at what point does the impermanence of your medium become something that you latch onto?
Pretty quickly. Because, they're balloons, right? So you have to know from the very beginning. Even back then, I always thought this is like the Buddhist mentality of the mandala. With the sand.
Yep.
They make it. It takes them a week to make it a team, and then they instantly wipe it away and do it all over again.
Right.
Right? So I thought that really helped me. I was like, oh, okay. So like, I'm going to put everything I have into this and I have to let it go.
Yeah. What's that like? Because we're used to talking to a lot of artists who their end product is a record, a painting, a book, something right. that you're making deliberately knowing it's going to be around when you're not.
Yeah.
What's it like for you when you know that so much of this art you made falls into that category of you by necessity had to let it go?
You know, I think it really helped charge me. Because in those between moments, you realize that some people want to destroy it. Some people want to keep it forever. Some people want to know how you made it. There's all kinds of different ways that people can enjoy this.
Ah.
And so at the point that I finish and I hand it to someone else or leave it on the street, it's not mine anymore. Even though my name's on it, I'm trying to like build this thing or whatever. I give it to the world and say, do what you want. And it's been really freeing because, I feel like I was lucky to realize this early on because I've just been kind of like not really worried about that the whole time.
You know? And that's a big roadblock for a lot of artists.
Huge, bro. Like when I was playing music, I just want to put something down that someone's going to want to listen to later. But you can't really do that shit here, right? So it's kind of a mind fuck.
That's what I'm saying. So how?
But that's the cool part of it is like, you know, I spent whatever putting this in, and now like it's gone. I don't even have it anymore. It's almost like it's like a relief. Because, like, I put all this into there, and now it's fucking, all right, what's next, you know?
I was going to say, it automatically clears the slate for what's next.
Kind of, yeah.
So when do you start to take this skill you're developing way beyond a dog and a flower and start to take it off the street and into more events, corporate partnerships, things like that?
When I was doing street performance... the first time I realized what Art Basel was.
Oh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
So living in Miami, there's this international art festival, just for the people that don't know.
Yeah.
It's an international art festival that comes, everybody comes from around the world to this thing in Miami. And there's a spot in town. So the main part is on the beach. Big money. All kinds of fancy people with fancy cars and fancy suits and shit, and everybody wants to be seen there and shit. That's cool. Like, I understand that's the art world, which is a whole thing.
It is a whole thing.
Right. So there's a spot in town that's called Wynwood.
Right, yep.
Which is, like, more graffiti and, like, street urban kind of, you know, it was almost like... like a battle, people are spraying over each other because they think their piece is better. People are getting knocked out because they, the other dude that you capped, the other guy. And like, I was just like, this is so like, this is what they were talking about. You know, I've heard about all this stuff growing up in, you know, like I said, growing up skateboarding and stuff, I was really into hip hop. And you hear everybody that, you know, there's the multidisciplinary areas of hip hop
for sure,
and graffiti's one of them. And it was crazy to see it manifest in a city area where you could kind of see all of it right there, and it
right?
just, I fell in love with it. So I thought, why not use balloons to do the same thing? So the first thing I ever put out at an Art Basel, I think it was 2012 or 2013, I made a big mannequin, big hands that were holding like the wood tees, and a big like simple mannequin, giant round head and balloons from the wooden tees down to each piece. And it really looked, you know, it was really like a mannequin. I tried to make it as realistic to that form as possible.
Right.
And so I put it on the side of this building on the, it was like, so Art Basel back then was like one weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There was like a warm-up day on Thursday. But really, I put it out on a Wednesday thinking like, oh, it'll like, I'll try to have it last.
And you were commissioned to do this, or this was guerrilla?
This was guerrilla. This was all, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to do this because I think it's fucking cool, right?
Yeah, okay.
So I hang it up on this wall, and it's on Wednesday. And I didn't realize it at the time, but Wednesday's the day all the super famous people go out. It's like the pre-day. So I put this mannequin up on the side of a wall on the main street. I think it was on 2nd, kind of by Panther Coffee, if you know the area. It's like, it was kind of like a hub, this coffee shop in the middle that's now... I mean, now it's all like glass windows and fucking companies. Back then, right. It was warehouses, a bar here, you know, it was like wood here, Gramps and Panther Coffee, a couple other little spots, but nothing like it is now. So I just kind of like put it up on a building on one of the main streets. And in the morning, I woke up to, and I put my name on it, on a piece of tape on the wall, because I had to like tape it up because it was just on this fucking white stucco wall. I was like, I'll put it here. Like, this is fucking great.
Perfect.
Yeah, right? Like, where else am I going to go? So I woke up in the morning and David Arquette posted it on his page because he loves marionettes, apparently. And it was, he had come out of this one art show on the pre-day where all the, like, the famous people are walking around. And he saw it and saw my name, took a picture with it, a couple pictures, posted it on his Twitter. I was like, oh, shit. Like, that was... it. Dude, I remember putting this up. I was so scared.
Were you by yourself?
Yeah. I was, like, jittery and, like, I don't know, like, almost like, I don't know, what am I, like, what are people going to think? Or, like, is someone going to, like, kick me out? At that point, I was... there, no one was really doing this shit, right? So I'm like... if the wrong person sees me, maybe they're going to be like, get the fuck out of here, get off my building, or, you know, like,
right.
Or the cops, or...
the whole thing could go bust.
Totally. I mean, that's the thing about balloons is, like, it...
No pun intended.
Pun intended all day long. The thing about balloons is they grab a lot of attention. So I was like, fuck, all right, this thing's fucking huge. You know, it's like 6 feet, 7 feet tall. hands, you know, way the fuck up here. So it's like 7 feet.
And it's unnatural, so everybody's going to notice it.
Totally. So I'm like, fuck, all right, I got to, like, get in and get out. You know, it's kind of like this, like, almost like doing a graffiti piece where you got to, stay low and, like, not draw too much attention. But it's fucking a giant balloon thing. I'm like, fuck. So I'm, like, nervous about it. Anyway, so there was a little bit of, like, what's the word? I felt like it worked. When I saw that
when you saw that post?
Yeah. And that made me realize, like, well, this is a way for it to live forever. You know? Spreading it around. Pictures are kind of a way to, like, keep it around for a long time. And people care about it. And people I didn't even realize. Like, I just did that. I thought that was cool. And, like, this famous dude, like, posted it, you know? I'm like, damn, that's some shit. And so I've just been kind of fumbling into that kind of shit this whole time.
I was going to say, so you're repeatedly getting signs that what you're doing is eliciting a reaction in people, mm-hmm. whether or not it's getting barked at for the alligator head or David Arquette posting the marionette. It must be being pretty obvious to you pretty quick that people are resonating with your stuff.
Yeah, and there's a reaction, you know, whether good or bad, like with being called a freak or getting posted on some cool shit. It's like, wow, man, there is a thing here. So it just fueled the idea, and I kept going. And the first thing I did with, like, a big company where you're talking about, you know, doing, I guess, this I guess it would fall into, not really corporate stuff, but a bigger company looking to use it. There's this record label, what was it called? Circo Loco, which is an EDM group, like label or
conglomerate,
whatever. Yeah, that has crazy DJs all over the world. And one of them hit me up on Twitter, I think it was on Twitter or Instagram, one of the two, and they were like, yo, we want a big clown head. And so I made this big clown head, and I brought it to, because it was during Winter Music Conference, which is like another, it's like Music Basel in Miami.
Yep.
Right. So
for electronic music,
exactly. So, and they were having a party at the Fountain Blue, or I can't remember exactly, some fancy fucking pool hotel shit that was going on there. No idea. That's the other thing. Half these things, I have no idea, like, what I'm walking into. And I'm just surrounded by, like, these great DJs or artists and shit. I'm just like, duh, fucking, you want this big balloon? So I bring it over there. They go crazy for it. You know, people really liked it. Live in the event, you know, and that's really what that's another stepping stone where I realized, oh shit, this is cool, like, for more than just some art stuff. This could be used for festivals or, you know, different DJs doing crazy big pool parties, because that's what it was, right? Or you know, events, and more than just a kid's birthday party. Or, I mean, fill an event. I did all kinds of events up until that point. And, you know, oddly, it all came from that gator head. That was the first head that I made and sold. Remember I said I got into this restaurant that kept me for like 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Chevy's. And that I brought that in one day for lunch. Met the GM, and he was like, yo, you should come in this weekend. So I came in that weekend, and I ended up going there like 3 days a week for the next 5 years. So from that, I would pass out my card, and then I do all kinds of events, from one-year-old birthday parties to anniversaries to quinceas, you know, fucking any kind of holiday party.
You weren't saying no to a balloon gig.
I'll say yes to everything. Still. I still say yes, dude. I don't like to say no, because, you know, I'm some would think I'm at a point where I could, but I'll fucking do everything. I'll do anything, man. I'm not like, not that special. Plus, of a person. I just want to fucking create, you know? It just does this thing for me.
That's what I was just going to say, because the fuel for you, the reward for you, is being able to have another chance to make something.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have something like that that you?
Yeah, I'm. Long story short, with me is I'm visually impaired. I grew up all around musicians. Music is is my thing for sure, which is why I I love to talk to other creative people because I see the parallels so much in it. You know what I mean? It's all, and that's why I ask you. And I want to start to kind of get to the point where the I like to say humans' magic trick is we make something out of nothing. We have these ideas and then we can make a thing. And you've made these, at this point, you've made the alligator head, which is pretty iconic for you, yeah? And you've made, you're starting to get on the radar of some things. But at what point do you, here's pun intended, blow up your ideas to this grand level that you see, some of them like the big gold chains you've done, or at what point do you realize, oh my God, I've got a whole nother step I can ratchet this up. Or did you always feel that way?
I think inside, in my head, I always knew that there's a thing here. When I say a thing, there's something that can grab everybody and there's something that will be everlasting or lasting or something that like people could really like, whoa. And I think that's what, you know, the organic growth became the gold chains and the bigger installations, the stars that I do. Actually, first time I ever built one of those stars was at Art Basel. I would go down there every year. And I would spend everything I had to get down to. So at some point in here, I moved to Los Angeles because I realized that there's opportunity there. And this balloon thing was so niche that, and like, I'm a different kind of person that like, I can get along with a lot of people. So it'll work. I think it'll work. Right. So I would come back to Miami every year. And, on this year I had nothing after I spent, I got the shittiest rental car I could, came back to Basel, spent everything I could to get there, sleeping in that bitch, right? Or on, like, gallery floors, because I had, like, homies around here and there.
You're right.
So I'm twisting for tips to get my money back, and I realized, like, oh, I got all these one balloons. I'm just going to make, man, this will be cool, like a big asterisk star. So I made a couple of those. I put them along this road. And a couple months later, now, like, these are homies of mine now. This guy hit me up from a brand new festival called Illfest, and he said, I want you to do some festival stuff. And I hadn't done any of that yet, but I thought, damn, these stars that I made were huge. I'd love to like make a bunch of those and put them around. And so I end up going to this festival and taking this design that I created busking. It had like nothing, just out of like, you know, there was no preconceived nothing. I feel like this was like some ether shit talking to me, you know?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I'm going to mission drift just for a second.
I'm doing the same thing the whole time, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is something that I like to ask anybody who fancies themselves creative in any way. Do you feel like you think of ideas or you just get yourself in a place where they can come to you?
It's a flow. And I can say that without any hesitation, because I was literally just talking to my homie about this yesterday. It's nothing that we have. It's something we tap into.
Yeah, okay. That's the feeling I'm interested in.
100%. Like, I know that there's a thing, but I don't feel it until it's given to me. You know? And it's like writing a song. Like, sometimes you'll rewrite a line, and then one time you'll go, oh, fuck. That's that shit. That's that riff. That's the one that fits. It resonates with your whole body. You get the goosebumps. God, I'm getting them right now.
I was going to say amen to that, my friend.
It's a real thing.
Yes.
I think I'm incredibly grateful to have that. I don't want to say to have that ability, because I think everyone has it. You just got to like be open for it and listen and feel and that. But for it to be bestowed upon me, I mean, it's the dream. So that is something that just comes. It's not, I mean, you can have 1,000 plans, but when the feeling comes, it throws all that shit out the window. You go, fuck yeah. that. This is the one, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
1,000 plans don't stand up to one feeling.
No. That's great. I don't know what that is, but that's fucking real.
Yeah.
That's really real. And so I've been following that. I've been trying to follow that as much as I can. And the more that you can tap in or like just be available to tap in, I feel like the more you can achieve or the more that will come around, the more that'll cohesively bond with your reality, I guess. I don't know. I'm not trying to get wordy with it.
What do you think knowing that and having experienced that has done for your creative process?
It's interesting because, like, you know, you can plant, like you said, you can plant a bunch of shit, but once that shit hits, you go, oh, fuck. So,
do you ever?
It's destroyed and created.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm wondering.
But I think mostly we're hoping for that. Once you realize that there is a thing there, I'm just trying to get to that, you know? Excuse me again. But I will say this, when you keep yourself open and don't get distracted along the way with life or
you said
everything
the D word.
Else. Yeah. If you can stay open and be ready and know that chime, like that was, you know, the chains. Like doing the fence pieces. Like, so I'll take like a chain link fence and I'll put balloons in it and I'll build shit almost like Legos. Kind of like you put one line here and here and here and you change the colors and it can become whatever the fuck you want. That was something that just happened that I was there for. It was maybe that same year that I made the star. It was a big year for me, honestly. The same year I made the star, I was broke, twisting for tips. It was at nighttime. I had nothing. I just met this guy who was in a band. Shout out Lewis from this band called Wynwood. Actually, I don't think they're playing anymore, but he like, come to this show. So I went to the show and I always end up like going off into a corner a little bit and kind of like collecting myself and kind of like feeling the moment and shit. I was outside, it was raining, and I looked at this fence and I was like, oh, that's fucking weird. I'm going to blow this balloon up and put it in the fence. And I put a bunch of them in the fence. I was like, oh, fuck. I could like build shit on this. And it's just like, it's just being open for that moment.
All of a sudden there was like your breadboard.
But bro, what's a breadboard?
Breadboard's what they put circuits on, plug all the into the little, or the components into the little board.
Yes.
To make electronics.
That, and actually, now that you say that, I've seen these, they're nodes, right?
Yeah.
It would be dope to like have one of those boards, but also use the nodes to make like an art piece that like look like a cool thing.
Hell yeah.
TM. Fucking TM.
Everybody out there. That's mine.
Can we do this?
Yeah.
Let's do this?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. It became that. It became a breadboard with a visual on it. Like, oh, shit. Okay, so I could build some shit off of this. So it's been the constant struggle to break through the noise to hear the silent whispers of creativity.
The people we were just interviewed with before you came in, we were talking about how noisy things have gotten and how hard it is to hear your, for want of a better way of putting it, hear your own thoughts enough to let them be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's hard. That's the hardest part. Especially with all the shit going on.
Do you find that the medium that you've chosen kind of, well, let me ask you this. What do you hope with the medium that you've chosen for people when they see it? Do you think that because it's a balloon, something we've all got reference to, but it's in this fantastical shape or this fantastical presentation, regardless of what it's shaped into, that this is a way that you can break up the noise for people, like almost involuntarily for them? Their noise stops when they see your piece?
Right. Yeah, that's the, you can change somebody's perspective or day when they see it. They're like, what the fuck? Or like, whoa. Or is that balloons? You know, it's just something that
breaks. Yeah, how many times have you been asked that?
So many times, dude. So many times. And I actually make these other balloons that I like treat with a special like plastic mixture that encases them. And I call them forever balloons. And you hang them up on a wall, and it looks like a balloon. I put a little string on it, put a like fucking frame around it.
Nice.
It's just like up on the wall. It's got a little string hanging, and people are like, "Oh, what the is that? That's glass." Everyone's like, "It's glass, or it's acrylic, or it's this mold." And I have to tell them like, "No, that's a real balloon." Like they. I get a lot of that in those, but most people do realize, I guess, at this point that. Even like the fence pieces and that kind of stuff are balloons. But yeah, I still get a lot of folks being like, what the fuck? Like, what is that, plastic? Or like, it's a mold or a toy or like a thing that, you know, unless I make a form, you know what I mean? Everybody kind of knows what a balloon is.
Yeah, because I feel like everybody's instinct would be that it might not be a balloon because who would go through all that work to make such a piece that right. can't be permanent? You know what I mean?
Definitely, bro. That's like, I've spent a lot of time on shit that I just let go, and it's like gonna die soon enough. But so I did street performance long enough, or worked in, you know, the twisting for tips avenue for long enough where people would come back. I'd see them a year later, and they go, "Oh, my daughter's still got that piece on the mantle," and it's like. It still looks like what it was, but it's
just this a big little,
yeah, it's like tiny now. So it's cool that, and that kind of made me realize that some people like to keep them forever for as long as they can. You
right.
know, some people like 2 days later, they got to pop that shit. I get, you know, runs the whole gambit for that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for you as the artist, as long as whatever reaction they were going to have, they had, nothing matters after that.
Nothing matters. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that I was able to like affect their day either positively or negatively. Mostly positive, because
right.
some people are like super scared of balloons. Like,
it's that fear of clown things manifested or something.
Dude, I will say I have that.
Yeah,
I have a little bit of that. Yeah, clowns like freak me the fuck out. Unless they're hot clowns, you know.
Yeah, right. Like, that's a whole like a separate sect of clowns.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're yeah. Most, you know, most are like vibe with it. So, yeah, I've just been trying to chase that shit too.
So, at what point, if it has happened,
mm-hmm.
do you say to yourself, "Oh man, I've made a career for myself"? Because it doesn't obviously that didn't happen overnight.
It only happened recently after I met Monster Energy, of course.
Shout out Monster Energy. That's why we got him on deck.
Sorry, I'm a mess over here. And I brought a couple Monster things for you.
Sweet.
Before you even get in. So I got some Monster towels.
Oh, snap.
So there's one for you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, there's two for you, actually. But we got one for you.
Seth? He gets a towel.
We got another one here for your next whoever. And then I got a beanie. Who's the beanie guy?
I was gonna say he beat me to it.
You got him up. There you go. I got some other fucking stickers and shit. But so here, let me just fang this right here real quick. See if I can. Oh shit! There you
We're
go.
On it.
Boom, dude. Hell yeah. So. The story with Monster is I was doing this festival for a few years. It's called Outside Lands. Have you ever heard of that one?
Mm-mm. It's in California?
It's in California. It's actually one of the biggest festivals, at least on the West Coast. It might be in the country. It's like 100,000 people a day. It's in
Summerfest. Summerfest, the big one in Milwaukee where they do like 100K a day.
Okay, so I've heard of that, but I haven't been to that one yet.
Well, you should go.
Dude.
They'd love you.
Let's go, dude. Okay.
Off camera, we'll get you
All
there.
All right, cool. All right, cool. But so this is a huge one on the West Coast. They always have like, they're known for bringing in big names like a couple years before they really blow.
Mm.
And they have like big names on the main stage that have already, you know, but all, a lot of the other artists are just bubbling, right? So it's a super cool festival, and if you ever have a chance, you should definitely check it out. If you're ever out there during, it's usually like October or August, let me know.
Hell yeah.
I'll get you some tickets or some shit.
Hell yeah.
So I met a guy, his name's Jebin Berg, and this guy, who I now call a friend, he's a confidant. I'll hit him in many different life stages at this point. But I think in 2018 or 17, because I met him in like 2016 at a show, an art show in Los Angeles. And I made him a shrimp balloon. And I still have the picture. I cherish it to this day. He hit me up the next year because he was the art director of the, it's called Outsider Arts at Outside Lands.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically in this graffiti crew. And they're called Lord's Crew. And he has all these homies come in and paint awesome murals during this festival.
Nice. Right?
So he kind of tapped me to come in and like, what can you do? So I would from the first festival I did, Illfest, I did all those crazy stars and shit. Mm-hmm. I would bring that in, that same vibe into them, but make way more of them and then do like a balloon drop.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and which I did at Illfest as well, but it was almost like I fumbled into it. I was like, shit, like that's a real thing, dude. We got to do this on a bigger scale.
Yeah, right.
And this was the opportunity to do that. So once I came in there and I made some crazy shit, I did this balloon drop. He was like, oh, fuck, this is tight. Let's do that. So I'd come back every year with him. The first few years, he paid me well, honestly. I mean, I was making like about $1,000. I would spend most of it on supplies.
Of course.
I would drive, you know, my truck up there and I would sleep in my truck just on the outskirts of the festival, like on the outside. This is San Francisco, so people are fucking sleeping in.
Yeah, right.
On every corner.
It's fair game.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, yeah, this is not a fucking big deal. So I would sleep in my car for the first few years, and then we kind of, you know, we did a couple things here and there and other places and kind of realized like, oh, this is a thing. And luckily, he realized this is a thing too. We kind of like met minds on that.
I was going to say, plane. He started to see some of the thing like, you were seeing.
Oh, this is, yeah. So he would have me come back every year, and Monster was always a small sponsor. He had like a link there somewhere. So they'd always send like cases of Monster, and every year it kind of got a few more cases and a little bigger. And then by like the fourth or fifth year, which I think by the fourth year, I think it was 2019. So the third year, I guess, technically. The third year, they had some people there, some Monster people. I met some of them, and they were like, oh, this is super cool. And I was like, yeah, man, it is. And they were talking about, like, oh, how would you like, you know, I think it was like a cameraman at the time. It's like, oh, you'd like to be, would you be interested in, like, you know, working with these guys? It's like, man, I'm not really like a corporate guy, to be honest. Like, coming from punk rock, you don't trust these people. You don't, like, it's a sellout.
Right.
Fucking whatever, right?
Right.
But
Monster's ethos was a little bit different with that, though.
100%, dude. They're doing the coolest shit. They have reach that's incredible. They got like 150 domestic events every year. The next year I came back and it was a bigger installation. There was more like Monster people there. And I met them. I met my manager at this time. His name's Mike Austin. Shout out, Mike. And I made some stuff for the main guy was there too, so it's like Monster Music. So they have all kinds of musical acts, but they also have graffiti artists and incredible visual artists that a handful of them that do shit all over the planet, right?
Right.
So, and even at the time, I didn't realize that. I just knew that they were Monster and they're doing really cool shit. I had kind of looked into them at that point. I'm like, wow, that's pretty fucking incredible. I'm going to make the main guy daughter a big monster sign, and we're going to do this big green-colored monster, lime green monster drop. So we do this drop. We get her involved. We get everybody involved. I made her the monster sign. We got a picture.
Nice.
And it resonated enough for them to, like, call me, and let's talk about this. What's it mean to you? What are we talking about here? You know, like, are you interested in, like, working and doing some other cool shit? So from Jeb and Berg bringing me back every year because he saw there was a thing there. Actually, he co-signed me at the very beginning to his monster people that were, you know, supporting this. And then the monster people came. And then I had a good impression. From that, I've been building with them now for, I'm on year three.
Awesome.
And I've been getting called more and more from different monster events, big or small, all over the country to, like, release flavors or just hype up a booth or do some crazy shit or, like, do a giant fucking balloon installation for it. And I keep going back to Outside Lands. It's just, like, this is why now I really am reinforcing, like, not saying no, because there's all kinds of cool things that they do that I'm just like, yep, you guys are cool. You fuck with me, I fuck with you. Let's go build some cool shit. Like, who knows where this is gonna go? Let's go there. So,
it's really hard for people.
And I play the game also. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but they fuck with me.
Yeah.
I fuck with you, bro.
Yeah.
And it's not a sellout, it's buying in.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
SLC punk vibes.
Most definitely. And that's what I was gonna say. You know, it's hard. I guess it's hard for people to say yes to everything, because at some point you feel like you got to say no to stick up for my roots, my whatever.
Sure.
But saying yes, it sounds like to you, has brought you almost always things that you couldn't have expected.
Yeah. And, like, I realized the idea in saying no, right? We all want to get there, because we have so much other work or other opportunities, or we don't have the time to. But I'm in such a niche thing that I think I'm trying to push the art. Excuse me. I'm trying to push the art to a place that opens it up for other people. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of that in there where I'm like, fuck, dude, we'll get everywhere.
Well, 100%. And this is something, you know, human beings for the longest time wanted to run a mile in under 4 minutes, and it was thought to be impossible, and no one could do it forever and ever and a day. Mm-hmm. And then one guy does it, and now we have grade school kids that do it.
Right.
So do you think that, or do you find that some of the art pieces or installations that you do are that 4 minute mile, that people can see what you've done, and then now it can, because there isn't really a precedent for what you've done, and they see it and then they think to themselves, wait, maybe I can do a bigger thing. I didn't think, maybe I have a 4 minute mile.
Excuse me. I try to push the pencil, as they say. Shout out Wayne One, who's an incredible original graffiti artist, who's also a monster guy.
Nice.
Fucking one of the original train guys. Rad dude.
Nice.
He has the hip hop history in his pocket. He is connected with all these fools. He said, you gotta push the pencil. And that's what I've been trying to feel and do.
Right.
Before that point that he verbalized it to me, I could, like, pinpoint it. This is what I've been trying to do the whole time, is go further and bigger and better. And I don't know. I keep saying words like stronger and
would you say
brighter and
would
shit.
You say you've already gotten to the point, or are coming up on the point, where there is not another person who has done or is doing what you're doing? Well, sheerly by virtue of the fact that you're not scared to push that pencil?
I think that's a lot of my my allure, is that I do it different. And I attribute that to my punk rock upbringing, where I just kind of have a different way. I'm like outside the box.
Yes, sir.
But as far as I know, I'm the only corporate sponsored balloon artist on the planet. That is not me bragging.
No, no, no.
That is
that's not the that context I'm asking.
Possible,
you.
You know?
Yeah, right.
No, and I realize exactly where you're at. Yeah, like I feel like I'm doing different stuff, and I'm lucky to be seen that way. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to open the doors up for every company to have a balloon guy,
yeah,
that has events, because it's working here. Like, I might not be the biggest person on the Instagrams or have these crazy, like, you know, numbers that I'm pushing online, but live, when you come to see an installation, whatever I'm involved with, whether it's these conventions I'm in or a monster installation or my own shit at an art show, people resonate with it, you know? And I think that's the most important part of it.
Yes.
Being able to show that, like, it's possible to all walks of life are interested in this. You just gotta, like, do it. And yeah, not be scared to do it.
I was going to say, you just got to be open enough to let that reality sink in.
Sure.
Because it's one of those things that, yeah, it's niche, but what it really is just off everyone's radar, even though we all know balloons. And then you see it, and then instantly you're
like,
back.
Oh, shit. Yo, that's been like kind of the cornerstone of my career.
That's got to be amazingly rewarding.
I'm incredibly blessed, not stressed. And I'm grateful, not hateful.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What I mean?
Well, hey, around here, we dub 2024 the year of extreme gratitude, and we're just rolling it into 25.
Dude, we just need to be extremely grateful for everything moving forward, because who knows what's going to come up next?
Yeah.
And, like, as long as you're living for yourself / like the positive aspect of what humans are, you can't go wrong, and you got to be grateful for it, man. And
yes.
Like, tomorrow, literally tomorrow, we could face the next fill in the fucking blank. They're planning that shit. I don't know what the fuck it is, but they're planning that shit.
This is why, if the balloon is in your head, get it out your hands now.
Yeah, do it now. Don't wait for someone else to tell you it's fucking cool. Here's another thing that I always, if I think it's cool, if I'm like, oh, if I get struck with something, this flow, this ethereal, whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to sound fucking smart right now. But if you feel it, if it gives you the goosebumps, your body's talking to you, do it. Any number of people are going to resonate with that. And I think that that's the flow.
I was going to say, I think we've kind of lost that innate feeling.
Uh-huh.
But I'm with you there 1,000%.
I mean, have you lost it? You're just saying in general. Because you play music, like, that's a big part of what we do.
Right.
You know, is creating and feeling that, oh, God, like, that's
good. Well, Frisian is goosebumps. That's one of those things that, just as an aside, I'm really fixated on. Being a visually impaired and having spent a lot of time in the audio world, I'm used to relying on that goosebumps. When the Frisian happens, I know I'm onto something.
Uh-huh.
So here's
Frisian.
That's like the scientific name for it or whatever.
Oh shit.
But here's my anecdotal story for you that maybe relates to you and your experience in presenting things in person versus online.
Mm-hmm.
I came up in recording studios back in the day. I straddled the period where Pro Tools and Auto-Tune came into the show, and now there's so many Auto-Tune vocals, and it's not just T-Pain, it's people who can sing. They just make it perfect with auto-tune, right? I've got a theory that we've been listening to each other speak for all of eternity. We're tuned, our ears are literally tuned to hear the frequencies our voices lie in and where babies cry in. And we don't know any sound any better than one another speaking. But when you hear an auto-tuned vocal, that's not someone's voice anymore. So I have a theory that once the art is too perfect, in this case, the pitch correction is too unreal now, it can no longer speak to that part of you. You can't get frisson from it anymore. Mm. And I think that contrived visual art falls into that category as well. And one of the things that I personally find interesting and why I wanted to talk to you in the lure of your work is, and why I wanted to ask you about the impermanence of it. Because this is one of those things, you got to let your art do its thing in real time. And then afterwards, it only exists in a memory. It only exists in a photograph.
Yeah.
You know
or
what
stories,
I mean?
Stories.
Yeah. So it had to be.
It lives in the voice of one person telling it to another.
Right. And it's real palatable experience, seeing it firsthand, can't be manipulated. There is no auto-tune. They're not going to tie up the balloon for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's the tangible bit of your art and the sentiment you put into it that people can't help but resonate with. And I find it really powerful that you know how that is on your own. That gives you the ability to share that with other people.
And I think it came from music. It came from being able to be open source to the source. To
right.
Just an antenna.
That's it, the antenna. Have you ever heard of the Akashic Record?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my big horse in the race, that we are just antennas, and I don't believe consciousness is local, but we're going to spill out into a whole different conversation.
No, it's well, I mean, we're talking about the 101st monkey.
Right.
Right? Yep. So, like, I mean, I think that's what I'm striving for, is for the 101st balloon artist.
Yes.
To start to do what I'm doing, and it's not like... not do exactly what I'm doing. If that's the case, like, I'm flattered, and please use that as a blueprint. But being able to kick down the doors for other monkeys to succeed and see that it's fucking possible, bro.
Like, yes.
And I think it all, when you're saying get onto another subject, it's all the same. It's all the same shit, bro. Like, balloon art is a trucking company. You know, it's a service that is used for an outcome, and the outcome is creating joy.
Yes.
It's just a little different than delivering goods, you know?
Yes.
And I think music is very similar. Like, I still stay in music. I still write albums for other people. I still write for myself. I experiment with all this kind of shit, but it's all still the same, trying to catch that feeling, man.
Yes, yes.
And that's great. That's wild you bring up the records here, because that's something that's super important, man. And the ether is so much bigger than anything you can even really explain, except for using these other experiments that have been there, like ancient fucking wisdom.
And
that
we still got to use our rudimentary monkey language to describe it.
Yo, if you can tell, I don't know if you can tell or not, you're way better at the words. Okay. I'm just kind of like fucking monkeying around, like breaking my way through shit, be like that.
Yeah.
You know? So,
but it's the same instinct.
It really is.
And it's,
I think at the end of the day, it's all the same feeling.
Yeah, I agree completely.
We can feel the same, but we can't express it the same, man. And I'm grateful that you're able to.
Yeah, well, and that's part of the reason why, or I shouldn't say part of the reason, it's the sole reason why I am so much into art, because it's how we can find our common ground when we can't necessarily speak it. Mm. It's the manifestation of our ideas. It's our magic trick.
Yeah. I've said multiple times that music is balloon art.
Yeah.
Is graffiti, is visual. It's all the same well. It's all the same inkwell. It's just different quills, you know? It's different pens dipping in the same ink. So I'm just, you know, man, at the end of the day, I'm just grateful to be here, man.
I was just going to say, man, all it does is make me grateful.
Yeah. 100%. Grateful.
Yes.
Into 2025, baby.
Yes, sir. Yo. All right, well, we've done enough heavy. Let's get you out of here on something fun.
There's
no wrong answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
pressure.
Mm-hmm.
If you could create one piece for one event,
mm-hmm.
your dream piece, dream event,
mm-hmm.
what is it? What's your Mount Rushmore piece right now?
What I've really wanted to do for a long time is cover the side of a tall, like, apartment building. We'll call it a tombstone. That's a phrase in the
graph world.
Graph world, that it's just a big rectangle, right? And I want to cover this whole side of this building with balloons and, like, the fence kind of way, right? Or I'm fucking this up.
The breadboard analogy.
Exactly. The breadboard analogy, to make it look like a Pac-Man board.
Ah. So
I've always wanted to do that for, like, years. I've talked to a few people.
Like a full-scale Pac-Man.
Just fucking 8-10 stories of a Pac-Man board. But, you know, that's a whole thing. And I do a lot of shit. I'm not saying it can't be done. It totally can be. But this is a big undertaking. I think that would be awesome. Also, covering the Hollywood sign with balloons, I think that would be super cool.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome.
Or just, like, put, like, the stars that you've seen, the stars that I do. Like, they're kind of like the big asterisks.
Mm-hmm.
Making them look furry, I think that would be kind of cool. Because at that, you know, you back up and you see these fucking things moving. It looks like almost like a carpet. I think that would be kind of fucking cool. Also, I've been thinking about doing, like, UFO art, where you, like, helium some balloons, put some lights in the fucking balloons, like, let them fly up.
Now's
like
the perfect time.
Like, exactly, right? So there's a couple things, but I think the main giant fucking piece would be that Pac-Man board. That's the first thing I thought of, at least, just because I'm kind of like, you know, the retro, the nostalgia is, like, palpable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
On a side note, we got to introduce you to guac, if you don't know guac.
I love guacamole.
Well, you might like guac's art.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's a local graph guy?
That's kind of how he started. He makes nostalgic things for people who are 100 feet tall. So he makes, like, giant Nintendo zapper guns.
Oh, G-W-A-K.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. He just had a show at Win317.
Yeah.
That's the homies.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, like, I was stuck up in my own fucking Basel world this time. I was doing Museum of Graffiti. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to go through there, and I really am kicking myself in the ass that I wasn't able to, because I saw the giant pop, or the giant blow pops.
Yes, we normally have one on set. I just forgot it today.
The Tony Hawk skateboard.
Yes.
Bro, I fuck with him heavy, and I got homies. Jairo Vega is another one who wanted to introduce me to him. He's a fucking graph dude from Bradenton who you should get in here. Honestly.
Would love to. Like, would love to.
I'd love to link him and
well,
we'll do that afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my homie Eric Ramos, who's a guy who collects skateboards, knows him through the internet and was like, yo, you gotta check out this dude. He's down there.
He's awesome.
I've heard that he's incredible. I've seen his work online. I haven't seen it in person, though, and that's a big fuck up, honestly. Like,
I feel like you could brainstorm something incredible.
Bro, I'm...
When you were talking about making the big scale things, that's his wheelhouse.
Yeah. And I love fucking with, like, perspective.
Yes.
And, like, different... Like, miniatures are so cool, and then, like, oversized is so cool. Like,
so funny say that, because he was like, I'm going to get into a micro thing.
Bro, he should. I mean, it only makes sense. You're fucking with the size of stuff. He's got to talk to Danny Cortez, who's a New York guy who makes miniatures of realistic, like, side corners and walls. And, you know, he, like, brings this whole world into a fucking tiny piece. And
that's so cool.
It's fucking incredible, man. And then, fuck. There's, like... fuck. I'm forgetting his name right now, and that's so fucked up, dude.
Well, that's all right. You can tell me and we'll put it in the description.
All right, we're gonna put it right here.
Yep.
No.
Perfect.
Oh, but he's another miniature artist that makes stuff with 3D printers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like cuts out tiny like stickers, puts it on the thing, makes it look like a Guadalupe.
Oh, nice.
Candle.
Yeah, yeah.
And fuck, man. I'm really fucking it up, bro. I love you. I love you, dude.
Link in the description.
Link. Link in the description. Fuck. All right. Yeah. Well, but yeah, guac is tight.
Yeah.
I am familiar, but I don't know him yet, and I can't wait.
I was going to say, man, I think we got to get K the family, combine your universes, and see what you two could launch, man.
100%.
Well, Balloonski, I can't thank you enough for coming down. I know this has been a minute in the making, and I'm really grateful, gratitude. That you made it here. And whenever you got anything coming up, whenever you're in the area, you're K the family now, you got a home here, we'd always love to hear from you, man.
Cool, man. I'd love to be a part of anything in the future.
Yes.
And I just want to say, I thought that Keep the Hotel Empty was like some punk rock shit where you like destroy all the shit in the hotel.
That's my former night. Life.
Okay.
Fair enough. All right. Now I'm keeping the hotel nice.
Yeah. Nah. Well, because you're in nicer hotels.
Yes. There we go. There we go.
Isn't that the bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's way funner when you can throw the window out the fucking...
Well,
dude, throw the TV out the window.
Anyway. Cheers again.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you, bro.